Can't sleep? Don't want to sleep? Afraid to sleep? Are the windows closed? Are your doors locked? Did you check your closet? And under your bed? Maybe you should keep a light on in the hallway, just in case. Now settle in. Make yourself comfortable. Lay back, close your eyes, and let me tell you a story.
Arriving January 9th and available for pre-order now, The Reality Reaction Team, a brand new mind-bending sci-fi cyberpunk thriller by author Joe Prosit. In the distant future, humanity spends its time dancing through layers of simulated universes inside of simulated universes, while the real world crumbles around them. The powers that be offer a simple solution. Take the long nap and enter a decade-long hibernation while a select few rebuild Earth into a utopia. Two young lovers, Josh, a hallucinating lowlife, and Ziggy, a university student determined to quantify objective truth, find themselves caught in a spiraling tangle of conspiracy, illusion, and worlds within worlds as they begin to decipher the sinister facade of the long nap and find important allies in a mysterious group called the Reality Reaction Team. Pre-order your ebook or paperback now at joeprosit.com.
Archaeology is the study of past civilizations. But what have they really left behind for us to understand, besides crumbling buildings and monuments? They're garbage. The detritus of an age long since forgotten. But there's a lot we can learn from the debris of ancient peoples, for that's where the real stories are preserved. The tales of love and loss, of roads not taken. The stories we write as we fill the garbage dumps of our time. The Landfill Man by Joe Prosit. I was a lonely landfill man, but I wasn't alone. Sunset light seeped in through patches and slits. I rolled out of bed and staggered around my things and collections to the front door. I pushed it open and dusk poured over me. I squinted until my squinting was done, then looked down over the dump. This place was too crowded and busy for me all throughout the day. All the bulldozers and dump trucks, seagulls and suburban dads with their pickups, emptying so many forgotten souls. But as the sun sank and the gates locked, they all went away and left their treasures behind for me to uncover, discover, and recover. This old single-story, two-bedroom house was the first structure built on the property. Someone, way back, probably not long after World War II, based on the lead pipes and asbestos walls of the house, owned this home and the land all around it. And I suppose this man, freshly returned from the war in Europe, saw people needed a place to dump the things that hurt them. So he dug a hole and let them come here and fill it. I figure I'm sort of the opposite of that guy. No war here. Not for me. And if he wanted to help people bury their past, I was around to dig it up. That's the lesson of the landfill. Nothing is forgotten forever. But I don't bother anybody. They don't bother me. And we like that just fine. I only go down to the commercial waste pit at night, lugging my shovel and wheelbarrow with me. They leave behind trinkets and old food, valuables and rags. They're broken things and things brand new. A few years ago, someone threw away a nice headlamp because the batteries were dead. And someone else left a talking doll full of batteries because the head busted off. Now I can see at night. My shovel was a shovel with a broken handle and a rake with bent tines. My wheelbarrow used to be several wheelbarrows. Maybe the professor would say it was the same as Theseus's wheelbarrow. I think it's a new wheelbarrow, just as I'm a new and different person than who I was before. Tonight, we plunge through the strata, the professor said as he packed his pipe from a pouch of tobacco he cradled in his arms. We'll delve deep through the apex, and who knows what knowledge we'll find. Or just some cans I can trade in for cash, I said, as I fought to pull the wheelbarrow through the doorframe. Ah, but in the course of digging for cans, mayhap we discover enlightenment, the professor said. Enlightenment? Probably not. But was there more in the landfill than collectibles and recyclables? Things that would speak to me? Things with souls? I hope so. The professor followed me down past the warehouse of used mattresses sponged full of urine and dead skin cells, through the barrows of old refrigerators packed full of mold, dead kids, and seeping freon, and alongside the mountain of bicycles, some still with training wheels, some without, a few twisted and tangled and speckled with blood. The trail turned and switched back, and took us deeper and deeper into the landfill. The professor followed behind me in his tweed coat and penny loafers, puffing on his pipe, one hand in his pocket, strolling straight-legged with his toes and his chin up, never afraid to step in a brackish puddle along the way. He kept quiet during our descent, his mind busier than mine, I suppose. It was full dark by the time we reached the bottom. That was where the freshest deposits were left. The stuff still exposed and not yet buried by bulldozers. I wheeled around the garish-colored puddles of liquid until I was on the edge of the fresh trash. Then I got to work. People think they throw things away and they're gone. They put their sins and sorrows in a bin at the end of the driveway, and on Tuesday it magically disappears. Most people never even see this place, but the things they throw away are never really gone. I find their overdue bills, their porno magazines, and their shit-stained underwear. Oh, they haul it away and dump it off a cliff, cover it in dirt, but it never goes away. I find their ill-advised purchases, their financial indiscretions, their addictions. The truth is always here, sometimes out in the open, sometimes just below a thin layer of dirt. Out here, there was no lying, no storytelling to make the embarrassment seem justified. There was only truth. Layer by layer, I sifted through the forgotten and abandoned. Near the top was a framed poster of a pretty young lady in pearls and a fancy dress, smoking a cigarette with one of those long holders from the 1930s. She leaned in towards the camera, the slightest, smartest smile hiding on her lips. And did she wink at me through the unbroken glass? I placed the picture into the wheelbarrow. Here they were broken plastic toys, tiny clothes stained with baby poop and breast milk, a long knotted tube of plastic with giant pearls of dirty diapers. I was careful with the blade of my shovel around that python of piss and shit. Ah, the preschool era, the professor noted between puffs. Look at all we can learn from this. The broken toys, the size of the clothes, and still in diapers. What in this young boy's life has already made him so anal retentive, do you suppose? Oh, and what do we have here? Cast aside cosmetics and creams. These are indicative of a woman who'd given up on vanity and beauty. A mother hard at work, indeed. I moved aside the Mary Kay inventory and dug deeper. There was a wig down here, some clothes. I picked up a head made out of styrofoam, the kind a woman dresses up with wigs and jewelry. But it was bare, bleached white, and blank-faced. The empty page tricked me into writing a story upon it, but I didn't like the narrative, not one bit. So I chucked it up to the professor's feet. Deeper, the professor said. Through the ages and eras, further back in time, the further down we go. tossed aside flattened cardboard boxes with pictures printed on them of what would be here next week. Another strata for another time. Below the cardboard were coffee grounds, rotten eggs, and those little orange prescription pill bottles. People weren't supposed to throw away medicine. It got into the groundwater and flowed into the lakes and rivers and got all the frogs and fish high. People were supposed to bring it into the sheriff's office so it could be incinerated. Turn the dope into smoke so all the birds can get high too. I don't like medicine. I got a bad history with medicine. But my shovel kept the bottles a good distance away, and they went up and out of the hole too. Below, beer cans. Glorious recyclable beer cans. Dozens of them. I went about picking up each one and basketball shooting them into my wheelbarrow. "See here," the professor said. "During this time period, alcoholics roamed the earth." I plucked a used needle up from between the cans and threw it up and out of the hole as far as I could. When I bent down for the next can, an empty Michelob Golden Draft Light, that styrofoam head roamed back down into the hole and against the back of my palm. I moved, and it rolled over the pill bottles and looked up at me from its place there. "Ah, another sedimentary layer of human history," the professor whispered in awe of it. "The Epoch of Rachel. Roughly 3 million to, oh, I'd say 4.5 billion years ago." "Fuck you, Teach," I told the professor. Picked the styrofoam head back up and threw it out at him. "She's dead. They buried her in one of those other kinds of landfills. The cute little ones outside of churches." "Rachel. I wasn't always a landfill man, living in a landfill land. I had a real life back those 3 million to 4.5 billion years ago. I had a pretty girl of my own, and not one that just lived inside of a picture frame. Not a styrofoam head, either. I had Rachel, and Rachel had her pills. What was it that got her started on the oxys? A twisted ankle coming down the stairs? Or was it the migraines? And what was it that pushed her over the edge into heroin? The cause and effect of all those things were mixed up in my head. The sedimentary layers were all churned up and didn't lie flat in my mind anymore. But there was a vein of emotion that ran through them all, intruding up from volcanic layers to the surface. I loved you, Rachel." "Was that even true?" "I walked out the front door all the same. When the pills and drugs got too much, I left. I had to, for my own good. I had no choice, really. I didn't. I had to let her go. I tried to wake her up that morning before I moved out. Tried to let her know. Tried not to sneak away like a thief in the night. Still, I gave up and walked out the front door and into the sun all the same."
"Dig," said the professor. "We have to discover, no matter the cost."
I dug through time and through the ages, and the deeper I went, the more familiar it all became. Medical work scrubs with monkeys and such on them, steel-toed boots and grease-stained jeans, lunch boxes with ham and cheese sandwiches, turned green and black and flavored with penicillin. Ripped open envelopes and papers folded 3 times were scattered throughout. Bills, lots of them overdue. The license plate off our Ford Fiesta with expired tabs. The year on the little sticker didn't surprise me in the least.
"The age of overtime. Difficult times, but good times."
The professor nodded and puffed. "Good times that weren't long enough," I admitted. "I wish there were more pay stubs and fewer bills."
"There's more. More."
When I craned my neck around to look at the professor, he was at the top of a long silo. Moonlight and stars only visible, as if on the far side of a black and white kaleidoscope.
"Keep digging,"
he called from above like an undertaker. I understood. I didn't have to if I didn't want to. The professor wasn't holding any grades over me, not in this school of real life. He couldn't hire or fire me. He was a voice in my head. No more real than that wink from the old movie poster. I didn't want to dig deeper. Didn't need to. I was here for beer cans and unused batteries. Maybe something nice to hang on my walls. Not this, whatever this was. But now that I was here, uncovering the things I was, I couldn't stop. Something compelled me further down. Something real. Something truthful. Something pure. Now, there were overpriced college textbooks we never used enough. Broken computer monitors. Those old computer mice with the rolling ball. Papers stained with rings of coffee. A glass pipe, very different than the professor's pipe. This lair was dusted with crumbs of marijuana, and that musty smell brought me back to simpler days. I don't know when I abandoned the shovel, but I was on all fours now, pulling up the pieces of the past with my hands and bringing them to my face to inhale them in. It didn't matter if the professor was up there on the surface, miles above my head now, calling down into the pit for me to dig, dig. I wouldn't anyway, despite things falling back in. The license plate, the contents of that uneaten lunch bag, the styrofoam head. I pushed them aside. I was getting closer to that time. Maybe the best time in my life. The moment when I knew without a shadow of a doubt that the rest of my life was going to be okay. The strata thinned but became more detailed. An old Sublime CD measured a year. A university t-shirt was a month. A sheet of paper for each day. A strand of her hair for an hour. The moment we met. It was around here soon and I couldn't pass it by. If I could find that, if I knew where it all began, maybe we could start fresh together. When I go through all the long days and fights and struggles and overtime to bring us back to the present? You're goddamn right I would. But the present was falling back in on me. Michelob beer cans rolled down on top of the CD. A sheet of cardboard fluttered down. That framed poster of the winking rich girl landed on my back, and I thrashed it off me. From millennia above, the professor knocked out the ashes from his pipe, and it dusted me like a crematorium smokestack. A pill bottle rolled and tumbled and bounced all the way down, until it landed on the clothes she wore the day that had been so full of potential. Strappy sandals, a pink and yellow flower print sundress, big Hollywood rehab sunglasses. I knocked the pill bottle away and buried my face in her clothes, smelling everything that was pure and wholesome the day I met my Rachel. The nervousness, the excitement. There was magic in the air that day. When I felt the sundress swell and fill with her body, I didn't pull away. When her arms wrapped around me and pulled me in tighter, I welcomed her warmth. When the smell of her rot filled my nose and throat and lungs, I breathed in deeper. When I looked up and saw her smiling face, tears blurred my eyes. More trash tumbled down over us like blankets on our bed, and I didn't mind. We let the present bury us in the past and held each other tight. Not letting go this time, I whispered into her ear. I'm here for you, Rachel. Somewhere, ages and eras and epics above us, the professor watched as the pit swallowed us whole. Today's trash covered us up. He repacked his pipe, brought a match to the bowl, puff, puff, puffed the tobacco to life, and tossed the match over his shoulder as he strolled away. Interesting. Oh, very interesting. He ruminated and rambled on. Thank you for listening to The Landfill Man, written by Joe Prosit, narrated especially for the Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs fiction podcast by Rich Hosek. As always, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review, and share this podcast with anyone who enjoys audio fiction. You can find more of Joe's stories at joeprosit.com, joeprosit.com, your source for sci-fi, horror, and psycho-fiction. Dig in and join the madness, and subscribe to his Manic Monthly newsletter for more news and updates. Thanks for listening, and all the very best.
The Luke in Time Mysteries begins with two private detectives. Luke, who's got a little bit of a drinking problem, and her partner Lyle, who's got a little bit of an eating problem. Together, they've got pretty big money problem. So when Marva walks into their office, offering gobs of cash, if they can find someone who's trying to kill her, they take the job without asking any question, which becomes their biggest problem, because soon enough, they walk into a trap and wind up dead. But that's not where this story ends. In fact, it's just the setup, because they go back to the moment where they first met Marva, and until Luke and Lyle can solve Marva's mystery, they keep dying over and over again. If this book sounds like something you'd enjoy, check the links in the show notes to learn more.
You can find out more about the nine lives of Marva DeLonghi and the Luke in Time Mysteries at jodyjsperling.com.